January 10, 2020 is the Watt for Pedro Show.
I might not be able to win for my material. This is not science.
Still, you can achieve results derived from this.
This is not science.
It's more like black magic. Still, you did achieve results that I have missed. Now think, what a world-astounding collaboration we should be. You and I, together. No.
Well, for Peter Show, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Have to be with you again. It's been
a while.
Before the tour.
Did we do one since you've been back? Yeah. I do think one since you've been back. But, that's the only time I see us. Say at the Casbah, and then once...
after the Casbah.
Yeah, once after Casbah. Yeah, so you've done another tour since then.
Somewhere in November.
Yeah, you've been powering out since you got back, as always.
Yeah. No, I know I did two last month. One was a nightmare with the Hellgate, but, you know, in a way it wasn't a nightmare because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes
the part of that trip.
Communication ain't so clear. Sometimes it's a language barrier. Sometimes it's a technology barrier.
It's like the flavor of that meal.
The flavor of that meal. And so we got to get into it. We start the show off with the Irish, John Coltrane. And then our guest, Stoma, with Black Magic, off their brand new album. Brother Matt, let's welcome from Rotterdam in the Netherlands, Stoma.
Welcome.
Bruno, welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you are. But Matt, you can raise up that master.
Cool.
Yeah, welcome. Who wants to go first?
Thank you for having us.
Well, let's ask Brother Matt what's he think of 2020 so far. We're 10 days into it.
Man, it's a beautiful day. We've had some great days this week. It's off to a pretty good start for me.
What'd you do for New Year's?
Laid low.
You so did.
Yeah, amateur hour.
I was in my pad. Man, conked early. I didn't even make it to the thing and stuff. So, people, that shit's overrated. And what am I celebrating? Dryuary. Last time I did it was 7 years ago, and it is good to do.
Cool, yeah, take a little break.
And especially liver and kidneys are probably love.
Yeah,
it.
I'm doing a little liver cleanse now myself. How do they celebrate in Rotterdam?
How do you celebrate in Rotterdam?
A lot of fireworks. A lot of fireworks.
Whoa, just fireworks. No pistole?
No. Thankfully not. Yeah. But this was the last year, actually, that the city allows it, that they allowed it, fireworks.
Yeah, consumers to have fireworks.
Yeah, because they had, like, bombs.
Oh, getting too crazy?
Like here.
Yeah.
70 million.
I heard like around 70 million euros were spent on fireworks in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, it's this thing like in we blow everything up.
Well, you don't have 4th of July. You don't have Guy Fawkes Day. So
yeah, it's a comparable thing, probably.
So instead, you do it on New Year's.
Yeah, but it's not like it's you have like these controlled. Where people of the city, like, they do the fireworks.
Yeah, but we got both of it. We got a lot of DIY, and it's like...
Oh, okay.
4th of July is like a war zone here. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. A lot of illegal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, fireworks is illegal here in the Netherlands, except for 3 days. It's allowed to be sold, and then people go nuts.
Okay, yeah, bombs away.
It's cool to have illegal stuff, but every few days you get a little break. You can break the law in these 3 days. That's cool. Yeah,
have it all
that's a cool loophole.
Who wants to go first? So I want to talk about some musical journeys.
I'll go first. Why not?
Okay. What's your earliest? This is Bruno, right?
Yes.
Your earliest musical recollection, Bruno.
My father was a musician.
Oh, what did he play?
He played guitar, and so he was always playing. He was a guitarist and a songwriter, and he had a lot of friends, so there were always musicians jamming going on. And my first real memory of, like, music, of playing music was he took me when I was, I think I was 4 years old, he took me to this gym where he and some friends rented out, and they had drum kits there. So my father played guitar, but I never saw him play drums. And they had like 5 drum kits and percussion set up, something like that, in the whole space. And then they all just jammed. And I got,
you're talking a gymnasium, like where you worked out.
But it wasn't in use as such at that time. There weren't people working out. So they had space for, I think, a couple of hours or something like that, and then they put drum kits there, and it was my first experience also like really playing music or feeling what it is to play with people. And it was yeah, it changed my life.
You and Bruno, you got on one of the drum sets.
Yeah. I got on my father's lap and then playing on the drums.
So you were really young then, right?
Yeah, I think I was 4.
Okay. So you were the man with the stick in your hand.
At the beginning. And then I got in my teens, I got into loud music, and then I got also, and that was the first time I also got into the, to this concept of on stage, music on stage. So you buy a ticket and you go and see it like a theater kind of thing. Because before it was for me always like a normal thing, because it was part of my life. My father would always be playing, and so there was music always everywhere.
The idea of the gig was new to you, where you actually paid to see a show.
Yeah. Okay.
What about at school? Did you do music in school?
Just a little bit. We had music lessons sometimes, and it was mostly singing.
Right.
And we're clapping some rhythms, things like that.
But you didn't. How'd you get into bass guitar?
Well, first I played piano. I started when I think I was 10, and then I started playing. But then when I got into like louder music, like punk rock and rock and also hip hop kind of things. And then I actually stopped like really rehearsing the piano for the teacher, and I was only interested in the left hand, so like the bass patterns. Mm-hmm. And then I got into playing in a church. I played piano in a church, but I was always like focusing on the left hand, and they had a bass guitar in the church, and nobody was using it, and so I just asked, and I took it. I got a chance to take it home, and a little amp, and then I just started fooling around with it, and my piano teacher, by great coincidence, also played bass. So he gave me my first pointers on the bass, like how to hold it and how to tune it and things like that. Because
yeah.
I came to him with blisters on my fingers because I was, just trying it out.
Well, yeah, piano has buttons and bass has strings, big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I ask you, what was your experience like? Because a lot of people had negative experience learning piano. Usually it was because of the teacher, but this guy was a good one.
Well, he was great, but I was a horrible student, because I was like, the first couple of years I was interested, so I would do my homework, but then after a couple of years I stopped doing that. I would just like a quarter before I had to go to the lessons, I would like look into my book and then what the homework was, but then, of course, I could never catch up in 15 minutes before I had to go to the lesson. Okay. And so that was a couple of years of that, and my parents, they said I couldn't quit because I had started it, so I had to continue. So it was like this teenage fight going
on. But then he kind of becomes your bass teacher.
Yeah, because then he found out, like, because I was bringing, because then he saw some, he told me also, like, finally you're studying, you're doing something. Cause I also, I only had 3 months, like, I think I had like 5 lessons, and then he said, okay, now we quit, we stop, and then now you figure it out by yourself.
Okay. Whoa.
Because there was this, I got really, really obsessed, and I think, like, the last lesson I was playing, like, Pastorius stuff. He was giving me Jaco stuff.
Whoa.
Advanced class.
So I was like,
you know, Jaco, you play barefoot and like dancing around on talcum powder.
Wow.
I want to play Alabaster Jars here, okay?
a seven-floor pizza. His fun cuts each slice. The top is unfrozen, and the people are nice. Introductions are tidy. Instructions, have fun. The sprinters shut up with smoke in their lungs. The kings throw a party, no one thinks twice. Glasses are emptied and filled with choice.
Show. We heard Alabaster Jarvis from Stoma. And then Fitted, which is a project Bob Lee, myself have with Graham and Matt from Wire. In our debut album, The Legend of Lidmar Lucia is the tune. Yeah, we did one prac, one gig. Made that album. Next day went to Casa Hanzo. Came up some drum and bass for Matt and Graham. And then they piled up their stuff in England and Sweden.
Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah, you can do that now. Not like Minutemen days. Then Guided by Voices, brand new. Volcano. They just last week played 100 gig.
Wow.
100 tune gig downtown.
Wow.
It's almost 5 hours.
This cat,
Gary Smith, I conk his pad when I play Pittsburgh. He came to Pedro because I gave him the big tour and he told me he was going.
Bitching.
He's a huge fan of Bob Pollard. So am I, but I don't know what was it strong enough to do. Then Vicious Fence, this Wasco out in Cleveland.
Wasco.
She came out here and recorded Strong Beach with Tom Watson, Raul Morales, Jones, Pete Mazich, Jerry Trebitich.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, stealing, he's like pilfering my bands, but that's okay.
Awesome. Cause
it's a great proj. Humanoid Front. Then the Healers out of
Healers, yeah.
Illinois, right. Just east of, almost Indiana, just around the border with it. Gizriff, Loner Rock 2. G'Z, yeah, it's Jamie. Great cat. Happy New Year. And then from Finland, Ken Can Heads with Shotgun Infinity. Andy Shirinoff, my imaginary friends, he was a bass man for the Dictators. He moved down to New York City. I can't believe that. And then finally, Stoma with Kauta Pavanis.
So,
sounds pretty Latin. Out of,
you just had Healers on recently, right?
Who?
Healers? We're just recent guests?
The Healers, no, but we were at his pad in October. Missing Man with the Big Man on drums.
Very cool.
Yeah. It was hard to find. I had to have him. You go stand in front of your pad and wave your arms, all right? Okay, now it's Walter's turn. The Summer Man for Stoma. Your earliest musical recollection, Walter?
Well, my parents, when I was like 3 years old, they bought me a toy kind of drum kit. I went through the skins in like 3 minutes. never looked at it again, and it never took off with me on drums.
Walter, why did they buy it for you? Did you ask?
What did I ask?
For this drum set at 3 years old.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, probably not. So it was their idea.
Yeah, it was their idea. It was probably somewhere discount or something, and they thought, oh, that might be fun.
Because over here, a lot of times, you don't buy a drum set for your own kids. You buy it for somebody you want to give a hard time.
That's the smart thing to do, yeah. That's probably true, yeah.
So, but now, were they players, Walter? Were your parents musicians?
No, they weren't at all.
Were they listeners?
They were listeners, yeah.
So had a lot of records in the pad?
Yeah, we had a lot of records, and my dad was really into Proko Harum stuff.
Proko Harum,
Yeah. And Focus is a Dutch band.
Sure, they had a big hit here with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, that one, exactly.
I think he was the organ player. He would yodel.
Yeah, the yodeler.
Yeah.
I think he's still going.
They're still going, yeah. They sure are. They're still touring also internationally.
But the big guy in the band at that time was Jan Ackerman, this guitar man, and he became kind of a fusion guy.
Yeah, well, he's now being replaced because his fingers won't keep up.
Oh, wow.
And he's being replaced by Menno Gootjes.
Okay.
Big shout out for him because he was a teacher at my school for a while.
Another 70s Dutch band that was big here was Golden Earring.
Yeah, that too, yeah. It was an amazing band too.
I saw them play. And you would think just rock and roll or kind of, because they're on the radio, Radar Love. But live, it was the singer pulled out a flute. It was kind of prog.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And They were actually quite good, yeah.
So how did you get on drums, Woder?
Well,
for real.
I started out as I got the idea to play some keyboards in a band. I could play a little round on a keyboard and a little bit of chords and stuff. So, but we were rehearsing, and one day the drummer was a girl, called off sick. So, and I had some time behind the drum set of a friend of mine. And they asked me to take place behind the drum kit. And it actually worked out pretty good.
How old were you?
I was like 14, 15.
Okay, like junior high.
Ish. Yeah.
So you just went for it. That's
busy. I just went for it, and it worked out very good. I took off from there.
Now, you must have had to buy your own kit after a while, right?
Yeah, at first I took some lessons, and I just practiced on pads and stuff with little planks and wood and rubber and stuff. But after a while, I noticed there was some real dedication, so I figured I needed a drum kit. Yeah.
So, you want to tell me what kind of drum? What was your first drum kit you bought?
It was like a Pearl Forum kit.
Pearl. Peter Chris.
It was like red, wine red.
Yeah, when I think of Pearl, I think of Peter Chris.
Okay, yeah.
Right, the guy who played drums for Kiss?
Mm-hmm.
And,
it was a beginner's sort of kit, but it worked out good. I recorded a few demos on that one. With my early bands.
How did you meet Bruno?
I played in a local band. We had with a few friends, and Bruno was playing in another band, and they needed a drummer, and I knew a guitar player with which Bruno played with. And the guitar player said, "Well, I know this about a guy, and maybe we should ask him for one time." So they called me up, and they asked me to come to a jam session here in Schiedam, near to Rotterdam. And from that moment, it's all history.
So what was that? That was like a 4-piece band?
No, it was a 3-piece band actually.
Ah, power trio.
Yeah. And after a while, for quite a long while, the guitarist decided to quit. And we were like, well, then we have to do it. And all the looping electronic stuff was getting hot at that moment. So Bruno was already experimenting with that. And so we said to each other, well, let's try it together then. If we can build up layers like we did with the guitar player, but then without a guitar player.
Sure.
And that actually worked out pretty good.
Yeah, and the first, and if I may be so rude to interrupt, the first time I asked Wouter to play with me, he said no.
Now, was this trio, when you had the guitar man, was it still called Stoma?
No, it was called Dudu's Coffee.
It was Dudu's Coffee, and I think one of the first demos that Wouter recorded on that drum kit is a demo that, and this is like going back a bit of history, like with, that's very important for us, and it involves you.
Can you save it? Because we're at the end of the first hour. Let's talk about that next hour. People were at the end of the first hour, January 10, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Stoma from Rotterdam. Hold tight for hour two. January 10, 2020. God, that's hard to say. This is the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show. Thank you.
body hypnotized. Carrots of regret. Disconnect. Disconnect. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Dazzle Camouflage, Stoma, new brand new album. Then Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal, brand new. Product Placement, Kind of Pigeon out of Milano, Luciano. Telepathy is not a kind of pigeon post. Mod Vigil out of Australia. That's so fucked up, brother. They say a billion animals burned up.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Jeez.
A third of the koalas.
Man.
It's fucked up.
It's Australian.
Yeah.
Terrible. Anyway, big love down there. Citizen Snips. Madeline Emily from Mayan Revolution. Hell yeah, from the city. Dusto. Dust Zero, I should say. Dan Francie, Devin McKnight, Adam Reich, the House of Oranges from the Northeast. Maybe New Jersey, I think. Henry Kaiser. Out of Pacifica, that time in the Calderon at Point Lobos. Henry, you know, part of the time he's South Pole, Antarctica. He dives.
Oh, man.
And then he plays guitar when he's not
doing it. Jeez. What a combo.
And then finally, bon appetit, some French words from Stoma. That's some good chow, right? So, look, I want to hear this important historical facts about Stoma in regards to Bruno and Walter coming together for the first time. Bring it.
Yeah, so in 1989, I went to see with the guitar player that we had this band with, me and Walter, do the Scoffy in 1989. We went to Nighttown in Rotown to see the concert of this man that we only read about on a record that I played played along to like a million times, Blood Sugar Sex Magic by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it said on the back of it, it is dedicated to Mike Watt. And we were like, who is this guy? This is like before internet. So, and we saw that you were playing in Nighttown and we went there and it was in 1989 and, you were doing the opera, and...
No, it's 1998.
Oh, yeah, 98. Yeah, exactly. And
but I know you did that on purpose.
It changed our lives. It was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what I'll only speak for myself. I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, so it was Bob Lee and Joe Baez, the Black Gang, doing the first opera.
Yeah, and I gave you the our demo. And you were the first one to actually pronounce the name correctly when you read it.
Well, you know, for 25 years, my Europe gigs were booked by a Rotterdam Dutch dude named Carlos. So I have a little, insight other U.S. guys might not. So that's why I said it right. But I remember that venue. It was like kind of a theater. It was a trippy place. And it was the first gig of that tour. So it was a huge pants shitter.
Yeah, I didn't know how you looked like, but I think I saw you walking outside, and then I was like, maybe that's him. And then inside, because I was very early, and you were sitting like a couple of meters from me, and we were listening to, I think it was the Love Supreme, John Coltrane, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Before you went on, and that made such an impression on me. I was like, so thank you very much.
I think that tour. You're welcome. I think that tour I wore a pea coat. Some sailor gave me his pea coat after quitting the Navy.
Those are bitching.
Yeah. And I remember, because it was kind of cold. It was February or March.
I think it was March, yeah. And it was so cool because you were driving and you were taking care of your own stuff, and I remember there weren't a lot of people there in the audience.
Yeah, we call those character builders.
So a lot of people missed out, but all the intention and the love and the presence and the music and everything. Thank you again. It's
cool. Life altering night.
It changed everything.
So you didn't want to call the band Doodoo Coffee anymore.
Well, after the guitar player left, it became something else.
Yeah,
so we couldn't,
makes sense.
So we couldn't use the name. I mean,
so how did you get... Yeah, that makes sense. I understand completely. But where did you find the name Stoma?
We were looking for a name, as bands do. And then I was flicking on the television, like just zapping, and it was on a Belgian, program. There was this woman, and she said something about my stoma, and then I just zapped along. But the word stoma kept ringing in my head, and then I went to the library to see what it meant. And then they showed me all these books, and then I was disgusted, and I also thought it was very fitting and hilarious.
Now, this Belgian, it was Flemish, right?
Flemish, yes.
And you guys, your language is close, right?
Yeah,
it's actually the same language.
Maybe some little difference.
Yeah, it's pronunciation mostly, but it's both Dutch.
Okay, so even. But do people say stoma in Holland too?
Yeah. Yes.
Ah, okay. So.
Then later on, I found out that it means mouth in Greek.
Okay, but it's some kind of with Dutch Flemish. It's some kind of a stomach ailment, right? Some disease.
No, it's like this bag that you.
It's like a colostomy.
Ostomy bag, is it?
Yeah.
Colostomy, we say.
Yeah, something like that in English.
Yeah, like if you're really good at Christmas, you get a colostomy grab bag. Now I understand. It's to replace the stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's been a problem with your stomach, so you have to...
And then at another gig, because I've been going to a lot of your gigs... When you had your sickness, and then I gave you a stoma CD, and you said, "Oh, stoma," you knew what it was.
Yeah, my memory. Yeah, but I was actually using a piss bag, so a little different. One holds chow, one holds piss, but they're both sacks.
Yeah.
So bolsa. So look, I want to play here. No, it's time for Brother Matt's. Spin side.
How about that?
Brother Matt, come and bring it. Cool. Hold on for 20 minutes, guys. Fasten your seatbelts because Brother Matt's about to...
Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah.
What made you do what you just did to us with your spin cycle?
Well, that was a little different. I just played the fourth cut on whatever. So that was Seatbelt, Scott McLean there.
Sure.
And let's see, had Todd and Toys That Kill. Sardine Man looking
for Sardine Man in action.
Yeah, that's off to a cool start.
Next month I'm supposed to play there.
Excellent.
Jesse, right, from Death Metal Eagle.
Cool.
And can't wait.
Yeah.
The short drive, right? 11.
Yeah, man, it's perfect. It's a cool spot.
And we'll see. Yeah. Anybody should have a right. Yeah, Todd Codge.
Yeah.
He's always been working hard at it.
Yeah, he's been doing cool stuff for a long time, so this is the latest chapter of cool stuff.
Yeah, and for Pedro, I mean, I love playing Harold's Place, but let's check out this already.
Yeah.
Back with our Rotterdam friends, Walter Bruno. Tell me about the first Stoma gig.
Ooh. The first Stoma gig. It was quite tense, because just two of us. So, it felt quite awkward.
Where was it at?
I don't know. I think it was in Rotterdam. It probably was.
I think it was Nighttown.
Wow. Same pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That venue meant a lot for us.
Is it still around?
No, it's not. It's actually a Chinese supermarket right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last time I saw you, Bruno... was maybe you were there too, Walter. Was that festival, right? With the Sonia de Marnaio.
Yeah. At Vorm.
That's it.
We had a gig, and Walter had to go somewhere else, but I went to say hello.
Yeah, that's right. And so back to your first Stoma gig at Nighttown. It was tense because just two, right?
Yeah.
You're making the transition.
Yeah, quite naked.
Yeah, we weren't used to... Yeah, we were... Like Wout said before, we were a three-piece. You know, we were with a guitar player. So, it was weird.
And they tend to take up a lot of attention, guitar players. So sure. that was easy for us.
And it's just rhythm section. And I'm thinking of you, Walter. I'm thinking of you with your hat and your Hawaiian shirts. You weren't too naked.
No. not literally, of course.
But still, we like to say you broke the water. You got through it and started the next era the next time. There's got to be a first time, right? And even though you've done gigs as a power trio, it is different. I know a little bit of this from doing many years of DOS with just two bass. So at least drums makes a little more noise than another bass player. Now, Bruno, were you using the bow way back then?
When we started with when we did the first Stoma thing, I was already using the bow. Yeah.
Wow. So that goes way back with you. And I think I was... It wasn't Jimmy Page. It was the guy from, what was the Creation? I met this guy at a festival. He's dressed like Sheriff John. Remember Sheriff John?
Yeah.
He was dressed like him, and supposedly he was the cat. I guess they had the same management as The Who, and one band had to get the attention. But I really liked the way you worked that bow. In fact, Patello Stein, I saw you to Marnaio, he works bow too, but I've never seen it worked on the bass. Pretty incredible. Much respect to you. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 10, 2020. I want to say just 2020.
Yeah, 2020. I go for a mumble.
They say to write on your checks, all four digits. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Second hour with Brother Matt and special guest Stoma from Rotterdam. Hang tight for hour three. January 10th, 2020. It's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
mind intriguing. Clusters and constellations of data, like city lights proceeding. A mental man's business is to make himself unnecessary. A mental man's business is to make himself unnecessary. Laying on the scarlet ultra suede, the chrome shuriken caught the streets neon and twisted. Metabolism assiduously warm, fortune in serums, genetic surges.
Ultra suede, chrome shuriken caught the streets.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Stoma Duaneo. Another Umbrella with Red Rendezvous, late great Richard Derrick. Crane with Carousel Life from up in Idaho. Mold Omen up in Baltimore. Message from the Salvation Army. And then Eris with Stoma. Now, Eris, you know about this goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know about Discordia.
Yeah.
I think that would be the Latin word for it. Now, Eris was a goddess that wasn't invited. They were throwing a party for the prettiest lady. I think it was Helen or something.
Yeah, Callisti.
Yeah, she broke Callisti on a gold apple and threw it at the party.
Exactly, and then they started, fighting.
And the Greek for Callisti is to the prettiest one.
Exactly.
And she actually just wanted to fuck up the party. She's this is a. So you're aware of Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley.
Yeah, and Robert Anton Wilson.
Well, much later though, but this is in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Discordianism at a bowling alley in Whittier.
Oh,
wow. Dick Nixon went to a lawyer school, right? They create this kind of new order called Discordianism, and Eris is the goddess. She's in charge of chaos.
Bob?
No, later on. He's kind of a stepchild. Bob and the Church of Subgenius.
Uh-huh.
That's after Robert Anton Wilson, what they're talking about. He's more in the late 60s. But this is in the late 50s. And you guys, man, I'm really surprised you know about that. A lot of people don't know about this. I was, as a young man, introduced to a book called The Principia Discordia. And this book had a huge effect on me. And this is something that the first edition came out in the early 60s. It was five copies. They, by this time, had moved to New Orleans for a little while. Actually, Kerry Thornley, Lord Ravenhurst, spent some time in the Marines with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
He, got indicted by that garrison cat who was trying to... Oliver Stone made some kind of documentary or fictional movie, something like this. You got to turn up the master a little bit, brother Matt. This is what Tiny is. And so this tune has to do with the Eris. Wow. Because this was such a minority thing. You know, I think it had great impact, but without people knowing it.
Yeah, I really got into it after reading the Illuminatus trilogy.
That's Robert Anton Wilson along with Robert Shea. And both of these guys were writing for Playboy magazine. And they stumbled on because the Discordians was a very loose group of people and they were all around the U.S. They weren't really together. They didn't really know each other that well. Now, Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley did. They grew up together. He ended up as some, Kerry Thornley is some kind of like roaming around the country as his free spirit. Greg Hill goes to work for Bank of America and invents their whole software.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really strange how their lives diverge. They both only made it to around 60. And a lot of Discordians died young. But they had a big influence on what we called the counterculture in the 60s. But people really don't know. So that much respect to you for knowing about that. We started hour three off with, these songs from this album are actually part of a double. You guys recorded number 4 and 5 together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 18 songs that we recorded, in total.
And where'd you do it? Did you do it there in Rotterdam?
No, we did it in
a rural area, and I think it's an hour drive from Rotterdam.
It's close to Utrecht.
Okay, and Utrecht's kind of in the middle.
Again, we recorded with our great friend Bart Hoots. Shout out to him. He did the mixing, the recording, the engineering, mastering, everything except playing. It's great. He's great.
I want to play Nervous System.
balance of a vibrator.
Vibrator.
I'm a lover and not a hater. Orgasms are friends of fair weather.
Fair weather.
She likes us both. Let's work it out together.
Work it out together.
I'm not jealous of a vibrator.
Vibrator.
I'm a lover and not a hater.
Not a hater.
Orgasms are friends of fair weather.
Fair weather.
She likes us both. Let's work it out together.
Work it out together.
I'm not jealous of a vibrator.
Vibrator.
I'm a lover. Jealous of a vibrator.
Vibrator.
I'm a lover and not a hater.
Not a hater.
Orgasms are friends of fair weather.
Fair weather.
She likes us both. Let's work it out together.
Work it out together.
I'm not jealous of a vibrator.
Vibrator.
I'm a lover and not a hater.
Not a hater.
Orgasms are friends.
Work it out together.
Another sign that the world is ending. another sign that the world is ending. As the grim plot beacons in the air heats up, some find it outrageous and offending. Another sign that the world is ending.
Last music for this edition, people. Nervous System by Stoma. Post-Human Wonderland from Simon Grab. M.B. Jones, I'm Not Jealous. And finally, Polygram Hell from Stoma. Where can people find you on the internet?
We have a website.
Tell people the URL, please.
Stomamusic.com.
So STOMAMUSIC.com.
Exactly, yeah.
Great, that's great. Now, the plan is this baby's coming out right now, and you're going to wait a little while and put out the second one?
Exactly, that's the idea, yeah.
And what about touring?
Now we're ready to go everywhere. We're going everywhere, everywhere we can go.
You coming to the U.S.?
We'd love to.
I think you guys played with us at the beginning of a tour in Utrecht.
Yeah.
Right? What was that pad called?
D-Bass.
DBs. That's right. It's sounds. We say DB, like decibel.
Uh-huh.
And this place, it's more than gigs. It's practice pad, studio, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've played there twice. I really like that idea, man.
Yeah, self-contained.
Yeah, it's the whole dealio, you know. And anyway, getting to see Stoma, because I, Walter, a long time ago, you know, I got the demo from Bruno, and then I think, Walter, you gave me the first album. And I always loved the sounds, but it was much different to see live. Wow. Incredible dynamic between you two.
Yeah, well, yeah, we sound different live, yeah.
No, it's just the experience, you know.
That's a small thing we like to change with this album you're playing right now, because we wanted to make less of a discrepancy between those.
You want the recordings to be more like the gigs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it actually takes a bit of effort to make it sound like that.
Well, Bruno was using pedals that did layers.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to do more and more of that. Okay, interesting. I've seen a lot of other people doing that. In fact, Brother Phil up in Big Band.
Oh, you're right, right.
This one-band band.
Right, yeah.
Gets the whole fucking band going. He plays over the top of it. Yeah.
I also do gigs alone.
Whoa, what's that called?
That's just under my name. This is Bruno Ferro Xavier da Silva, and I play alone. I also have a duo with a tap dancer.
Mom.
And sometimes some things with modern dance, and we just playing music.
Yeah, I understand.
Neat.
Well, Walter, what about you? You got some side stuff?
At the moment, not too much. I played a few bands and I toured around a little bit, and all my attention goes to Stoma right now.
Ah, good man. Remember that, Bruno.
You
got a good man with you.
I mean, it's nice to have it on record now, Wouter. Now I'm telling you, he's amazing. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing without this guy.
Big respect.
I mean, you saw us play. I mean,
absolutely.
Maybe some people have now heard the music. I mean, it's impossible to do that without a drummer like that, a person like that.
Sure. Big respect.
He's great. And he's playing without a click track. I mean, like what you saw us do live, I play these loops live, and he doesn't have an in-ear thing or whatever. It's just what comes from the monitor, and he plays with that. I mean,
I'm into it.
Much
respect, Walter. Much respect, Bruno. Brother Matt, much respect.
Yes.
Always your essential aid and abet.
Very cool.
Big honor to have you guys on, Stoma. Hopefully you can come over here and U.S. people can see you, or people here in U.S., why don't you go and visit Holland?
Take
man?
A trip.
It's a great place to see Stoma there. But anyway, when number five comes out, can you come back on the show and we'll talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you'll have us, for sure.
Okay. Let me know. It's been the January 10th, 2020 version that I finally did. Right? What, Pedro Show? Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.